Hey everybody, on Podcast Land, it's David coming at you with a brand new podcast. Well, today is the 28th of March. We have skated past Easter, Resurrection Sunday. I hope that you all had a great Resurrection Sunday. My family and I had a great time. We celebrated the resurrection of Jesus and what that means. And I hope that it means something to you, and it's not Easter eggs and Easter baskets and the bunny and the way this world likes to cover up the truth. Now, as I've gotten older, I found that the truth is not as easy to be spotted as it seems. You would think that everybody would love truth, that truth would be written everywhere, that every school that would be teaching the truth, and every church that would be prophesying or speaking the Bible would be speaking the truth, and every family member, every person that you know would just have truth at the forefront. But it's not so, my friend. Truth is not that easy to be spotted. And just when you think you know it, sometimes it's elusive. Because we're up against a many and very evil enemy. And this world has been given over to it. It has got a season. It has got a time. And during that time, its job is to conceal the truth. It can't destroy the truth. It can corrupt it. It can hide it. It can pervert it. It can do all kinds of things at its disposal. And the most amazing thing that I find as I've gotten older is how many people don't see the truth. It's always right there. It's usually just under surface level of whatever the devil's trying to do. Sometimes it's mixed up in whatever he's trying to say. Just like in the very beginning in the garden, he couldn't do anything with the truth except use it and then pervert it a little bit. Because he's not a creator. He doesn't have no power. He has no real ability except for masking the truth, perverting the truth. And the hardest thing that I find is grounding people in truth. Because everybody has a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And even those that think they have it, the Bible even says it gives you a warning. Be careful, because if you think you stand, you're going to probably fall. And just because you think you have the truth, you got to be careful. And the least shall be the greatest, and the greatest shall be the least. And God goes through all these things to let you know that by the time you get old, you're going to realize that a lot of the things that you believed and a lot of things that you thought were actually just a waste of time. They were not what you thought they were. People were not who you thought they were. Things that you were involved in, situations, maybe jobs that you invested your life in, just kind of went by the wayside, kind of disappeared like a stream that dries up in a drought. And over time, you find out that truth is always sitting there like a gold piece underneath the surface, or a gem that sits in under the earth. You know, the Bible lets us know that men have sought out everything. Everything has been that's been under the sun. Men have tamed animals. They've even dug down in the deep parts of the earth to find gems, to find gold, to find silver veins, to find all these things that are hidden, concealed from the eye. They've given their life. They've expelled many other people's life that it mattered nothing compared to these gems and these gold pieces, these pieces of metal that are actually worthless. They can't do anything for you except for give you a desire. And over time, you see that men, what they put their stock in is usually a waste of time. When people get old and they've gathered and they've accumulated and they've bought and they've amassed wealth, they find at the very end of their days it was a waste of time. They can't take it with them, and now they got a problem. Who are they going to give it to? What are they going to do with it? Many of these people didn't even want children. They fought for rights to be able to get rid of your children, to get rid of people's children, to get rid of all that, to get rid of rights. It's funny how fast people want to get rid of rights when they don't realize how hard it was to get these rights. That's why you got to be careful when you enter into a battle. Sometimes the lines of who's right and who's wrong is blurred. And you might join a cause, and that cause that you joined, you might think because it says certain things, because it has certain posters, because it says it's going to do a certain thing. Behind it all was an evil person that was controlling people like puppets, using words, because many people don't realize that. And they should realize this. It's kind of funny that they don't. That lies are always there. They're around you since you were born. And you would think that even as you used them, many times you've used lies. And what was the purpose of a lie? To conceal the truth. That's all you used a lie for. You didn't want people to know the truth. Even though the truth would set you free, would set other people free, fear comes upon you. Fear of being found out. Fear of being caught. Fear of facing the facts. All these fears come to the forefront to stop you from telling the truth. It's almost like a battle that wages in a spiritual place in your mind. And at all costs, you do what you can to stop that truth from getting out. But when that truth has got free, there's a release that happens, and that's the end of the matter. But if you lie, it continues to go on. It continues to go on. And all the resources that are being expelled to keep that lie moving forward is a waste. It's a lot of waste. It's a lot of waste of people's minds, a lot of waste of efforts, a lot of waste that could be going to something more positive. But think of this. If that person that's in front of you wasn't lying to you, the next person next to him would be. Somebody will pick up the baton of lying. Somebody will pick up the cause for the devil. There's always going to be that person, just like Jesus said, the poor are always with you, but I am not always here. I'm only here for a season. And when I'm in your midst, you should do everything you can to stay in my midst. But the poor will always be with you. The beggars will always be there. The liars will always be there. The sinner will always be there. Until that day, I wrap it all up and I say it is finished. These things will continue. The sun will rise because I set it in its circuit. The moon will come up. Darkness and night will fight every day. But they're on a course, and it will never change until I tell it to change. The stars will come out. The evening sky. The birds will migrate. The ants will crawl on the ground. Everything will continue until I say it is finished. But the day is coming, my friend, when lies will cease. They will continue no more. You might be battling a lie in your life right now. You might be agitated in spirit, agitated with PTSD, agitated with all kinds of things in your mind. You can't find rest. You can't find peace. And that's because lies, maybe you haven't uncovered them yet, are working in your life. And they're agitating your spirit. They're agitating other people. Because that's one thing I found too, is when you're very uncomfortable around certain situations, certain people, it's because of deception, because of things that are happening, because your spirit can't find rest. Because one thing that the truth does is it completes a circuit. It completes the project. It completes everything. But a lie breaks that. It's almost like a tree that fell down in the midst of a road, or a semi that stopped in the midst of a train. Something is blocking the roadway. Something is stopping the course. Something is in the way. And that's what a lie is there for, my friend. It's there to stop the process. It's there to thwart it. It's there to hinder it. It's to hinder progress. It's to hinder family. It's to hinder government. It's to hinder everything under the sun. Because the enemy who's working is going to work until that day. And this is what I was going to say. You would think that as you were versed in lying, that you would be able to see a lie a mile away. But the problem is the lie always masks itself with partial truth. So many times they'll use the words that you want to hear, but the meaning behind the words are a little disheveled. They're not all there. And you start to justify it. You start to do the completion of the process because the lie can't do that. All it can do is say it. All it can do is present itself. And now the person that receives it has to do the rest of the work. Now you can reject it, and that's the best thing, is to reject it right out and say, ah, this is not right. And even if it comes in the form of godliness, I am not going to receive it until I know the facts. The problem is people want to get on board before they know the facts. And even if they hear people say, oh, I have the facts, these are the facts, and without even fact checking the fact checkers, you believe them. And so on and so forth, the vicious cycle. And the process that's happening is just so the lie can live. It's just so it can survive. Because if it can get past you, it has a chance to get to the next person. It has a chance to get from Eve to Adam. And from Adam to Cain. And from Cain to so on and so forth. It's handed down from one to the next, to the next, to the next. And even if the flood happens and wipes out all mankind, on that boat, there's a lie that's harboring. It's waiting. It's sitting. Even though there's a bunch of truth, even though there's a basket full of truth, even though there's an ark full of truth, even though all these things are there, just like when the Ark of the Covenant was made and manna was dropped down on the earth, there's always that person that's going to take that manna and they're going to bury it. They're going to take those goods that they're not supposed to have. They're going to bury it. They're going to take that idol they were supposed to destroy. Saul is supposed to complete the process by destroying this kingdom and the Amalekites and wipe them out. But there's always that process that harbors itself in somebody's heart that survives. That lie just wants to survive. And if it can get to the next person, it has a chance. But if you squash it, it's done. It's over. It's finished. And you see, we marvel sometimes when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness. And we say, oh, look, he used scripture. Oh, look, he used scripture. Oh, look, he used scripture. It is written. It is written. It is written. All Jesus did was he stopped a lie. He combated it with truth. He made sure the truth was prevalent. He made sure he understood the truth. He made sure that everybody knew that he stood for truth at all cost. So, every new generation produces a new batch of kids that think they have a new lie. They have a new form of deception. They have a new way of getting over. And it never ends. As one man gets old and that man has wisdom, there's new generations being formed that carry lies. And these lies will continue until the day Jesus comes and puts the tempter back where he belongs. Now, I have a scripture I want to read. It's one of my favorite scriptures. I've been pondering this one for months and months, for a while, just reading it over and over, listening to it. I put on the audio Bible. I'm working on the audio Bible and other things on my Rumble site. I've been really working a lot on that, spending time with my kids and teaching them and pouring into them truth and just being a good parent. Sometimes that in itself is something many people can't even do. If you look at your life and you look at other people's life, look at how many people have failed at parenting, at being a husband, at being a wife, at just completing a family. Very simple task, something that people think they know everything about. Everybody can give you all kinds of advice on it. But if you look at their life or look at those that they look up to, they've left destruction in their path. And they have no problem saying, oh, yeah, I made a mistake, but you need to forgive me. Oh, yeah, I did this. And they'll brag about all the stuff that they did, but they never bring to light all the things that they failed. And you would say, well, why would you want to bring the failures out? Well, because some people need to own up to it. Some people need to see that their knowledge that they have is not really knowledge. It's a form of godliness, but it's not going to work because it didn't work for them. And it's funny that they have all the advice for everybody else, but if you look at their life, the advice that they're trying to give other people, they don't even follow. And this is the thing that Jesus was telling the scribes and Pharisees. You have all these laws. You keep making more laws. You keep coming up with new ideas. You keep coming up with new forms. You keep coming up with new restrictions. You keep coming up with new guidelines. You keep coming up with new laws and instructions and rules and regulations, and you're going to regulate yourself right out of all your freedom. All the freedom that you have. But then you hear the voice. Yeah, but people can't have freedom. Time you give people freedom, they're going to sin. Why do they say that? Because they did. Because they failed. Because they look in the mirror and say, I tried it and I failed, so that means you're going to fail. That's another lie. The only time people fail is if they buy into the lies. If they listen to the liar and they let that lie get inside their heart and they believe it and then they act upon it, they followed suit. They let the lie complete itself. You shall not surely die. Go ahead and eat that fruit. Go ahead. Do what God told you not to do and watch. Nothing's going to happen. And when you eat that fruit, you realize, I didn't die. Nothing happened. It's just like people now that are inside the church. They sin and they go to the altar on Sunday. They sin during the week. They go to the altar. Nothing happened. God forgave me. Nothing happened. God forgave me. And it's only a one-sided conversation because all you hear is their side of the story. They keep saying they forgave, they were forgiven, God has forgiven them. All you hear is one side of the story, but you never hear the other side. And one day we will hear the other side. That's why the Bible says fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And to depart from iniquity and depart from sin, that's understanding. See, this is what people don't really understand. Is just because you did those things and you went to God and you asked him forgiveness, it doesn't mean that it completed the process. And it just might be so that you're believing a lie. What's the lie? That you can continue to sin and continue to go to God and say, forgive me, and he has to forgive you. Because you never completed your process. You never repented. You never stopped doing the sin. Because if, just like clockwork, when the tempter comes back in your life and he says, go ahead, drink that beer. You were delivered from it. Go ahead, smoke that cigarette. You were delivered from it. It don't matter. God will just forgive you. He died and paid the price. Who are people to judge you? Who are those? They have sin in their life. And then you start to point out things in their life to justify your sin. And now the lie lives on. And you're the harbor of those lies. And now your father is the father of lies. And now you look more like the deceiver than you do the deliverer. But just like many people in this world, it's easier to believe lies because it comes packaged in the truth. It comes packaging with the words. Just because a government official comes and says, saving democracy, the plan for saving democracy, and we're going to pass a budget and it's going to save democracy. Everybody believes that just because it says the right thing, it looks like the right thing, and just because they say don't believe this person, and they bring out all kinds of propaganda, they bring all kinds of lies, and if you look at the resources that are behind keeping it going, you get your answer, but it's easier to believe a lie. It's easier. It's easier to look at those that you love and say, listen, I'm not trusting you. I'd rather trust strangers. I'm amazed at how many people will switch sides on their family so fast to believe strangers. Just because somebody puts a robe on and says they're a pastor doesn't mean that they're a pastor. Just because somebody reads the scripture on a Sunday doesn't mean he's called of God. Just because he told you that. And if you look at your life at how many people you said that over the years, that this person is the answer. This is the Messiah. This is the one that God sent me to. This is the place that I'm going to find my redemption. And if you look back at your life, how many tombstones are behind you? Do you understand a good name is better than treasure? But people don't understand The simple text that Jesus says, the little things like I've already read. Buy the truth and sell it not. Things like that. You know, it's been said that a lie will travel around the world twice as fast as the truth. While the truth is still lacing up its boots, the lie has already traveled around the world. But you got to know this, my friend. When the boots get laced up and the truth starts walking, deliverance happens. And that truth will deliver those that let it. The Bible says, because they had not a love for the truth, God sent them a strong delusion. Because they had not a love for the truth. They don't love the truth. It's easier to believe lies. It's easier to buy into the devil. It's easier to see those things and to argue and to bicker and to fight over the things that you perceive to be truth, but are a waste of time. It's a waste of time. If you were to amount all the time that you've wasted, especially there's more wars that have been in the name of religion, and you're not the first one to take on the battle. The fight that you're already fighting, countless generations have already fought that battle. And it's endless war that's only designed to keep the lies moving so it captures more souls. And you might be the one that harbors the lie that captures the most souls, and you don't even know it. You might be the person that the devil uses the most in the name of goodness, and you come a wolf in sheep's clothing. It's kind of funny how all this works. If you actually see how it all works, actually your eyes are opened. I was blind, but now I see. If the blind lead the blind, they both end up in a ditch. What is a ditch? It's off the roadway. You fell off the roadway. You fell into the ditch. You fell into a place that's designed to capture the runoff. If the blind lead the blind. But then you hear the whispers of, yeah, but there's nobody else to lead us. Everybody's blind, so somebody has to lead us. And instead of getting on your hands and knees and following the road, maybe one crawl at a time, the first blind person that shows up and says, I know the way, follow me. And he can't see, he's blind. Just because he can say he can prophesy, just because he can say he heard from God, just because he said he can read the Bible, just because all these things, doesn't mean nothing. And about the time you find out might be too late. If you listen, the shackles are already being placed. The iniquity that you're continuing to do, even with the person next to you, because misery likes company, I find that when you find one sinner, usually there's another sinner right beside that person, because that's the whole purpose of it, is it's capture more souls. Look at how many preachers are sneaking around in hotels with mistresses. Look at how many people get to do these things, and they do it in secret, but yet they come out and everybody thinks they're anointed, because they equate yelling and screaming and shouting and all the people going to the altar and all this hype as anointing. They didn't count the person that was in their prayer closet day in and day out suffering for the name of Jesus. They don't look at Stephen, because he's just a crazy man that follows another crazy man. And when he starts talking about this Messiah, we're just going to stone him. It's not the fact that we're all beating him and killing him and we're yelling and screaming, telling him to shut up. We're not the bad ones. But this person that's trying to speak, that's the bad one. It's almost like in our modern day, you get to see it. There's a man named Trump. And nonstop, they use sin to try to capture him. But yet the people still will not support him. They can see that they're breaking laws. The people that are after him are breaking laws. The judges are breaking laws. The prosecutors are breaking laws. I heard people say they don't support Trump because he's an adulterer. But the very prosecutors are sleeping around in church. They're in churches, just like many of you. Slept around. before you were married. And it's okay because it's you. You're engaged. Many of you have a justification from heaven. You can smoke because it's not in the Bible. You can drink because it's in moderation. You can do drugs. It doesn't matter. You can lie because you've asked God to forgive you. But you know who's holy. You can point out who's holy and who's not. Like, you have the hand of God upon your life. Just like the people that were in the tent when Moses was leading them out. They all knew better than Moses. They all knew. Even though they couldn't lead themselves out, even though they were crying for a deliverer, and the deliverer showed up, they knew better than Moses. If Moses took too long on the mountain, and Moses came down, we already have a golden calf. Why? Because we all did it. It's okay. You took too long, so we made our own deliverer. We justified it. The lie just continues. Now, I want you to hear this scripture. It's kind of an interesting scripture. I love the book of Job. And there's a spot when you get to it, and Job's in the midst of his suffering. He's at the epitome of his suffering. Now, you got to remember, Job didn't do anything to deserve this suffering except be righteous. But everybody perceived around him that he was unrighteous, that he did something wrong. His friends showed up and they could not wait. They kept their mouth shut, but when they finally spoke, they had the answer. Everybody had the answer, but they were all wrong. People forget at the end of the story, Jesus had to correct all them except Job. Job was only corrected because of what he said to God. Job wasn't wrong. People get it wrong. Job was the right one. Job was right from the very beginning. The book that was written about Job is something that you might not ever have done for you. Will your name ever be written about? Will you ever be placed in the Bible? Will you ever have many men to follow after you, to be able to converse about your name? Job did. And many of you don't even read the book of Job. It's one of the most greatest writings of humans that they have in their hands. It's not Shakespeare. It's not the Hollywood movies. It's not Jaws. It's not any of these things. It's not Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. It's Job, about a man. And you get to see the spiritual and you get to see the physical. You get to see the man that has everything and the man that loses everything. You get to see how people treat him. You get to see how he acts. You get to see the hidden thing behind the scenes of Satan and God and the angels all conversing and coming together and talking about man on earth. And it's beautiful. About a man with no godly power, with no ability, facing the greatest plight of any person, suffering. He faces it head on. He has no choice. He has to suffer. It's come upon him. The thing that he feared the most has come upon him. He can't do anything but face it head on because he has to. He has to wake up every day. He has to face this thing every day. The beast is looking at him every day. The beast is mocking him every day. And every day that Job beats this beast, the beast has to lie and come up with something new. It's almost like modern day Trump. I know you don't like to hear that. But I don't care because truth is truth. And you have believed a lie long enough, my friend. And it'd be better if you just repented and said, I'm ashamed that I allowed myself to be used. I've allowed derangement syndrome. I've allowed my eyes and my heart to deceive me. And I fell prey amongst the rest. I've allowed little things that I've done myself. I am an adulterer. You can admit it. You can look in the mirror and tell yourself you're an adulterer. Nobody will hear you. But you better be careful because the little bird that sees you on your bed, he flies out your window, and you think you get away with stuff, but you really didn't get away with nothing. That's the big deception of humanity. Humans think they get away with everything. They really think they know how this world works. They really think that God is a blind man and he doesn't see nothing and he's not involved in humans and he just lets them do whatever they want and he just shows up like a drunk man every now and then. Nothing is further from the truth, my friend. And your conception into this kingdom was a magnificent thing that you haphazardly let slide through your finger like the sands of time. You don't care. Because all you care about is what people see now. The truth will set you free. And just maybe the voices that you're hearing right now are leading you astray. But you don't see that. That's okay. Verse number 35. Oh, that I had one to hear me. Here's my mark. Oh, that the Almighty would answer me. That my prosecutor had written a book. I read that in the NIV version. If you don't know what the NIV is, the New International Version. Hallelujah, I hear you now. Oh, I don't read that because it was written by a lesbian. Oh, I don't read. Oh, I hear it. I only use the King James Version. What did the disciples use? Oh, but the disciples aren't here now. But what did the disciples use? Do you think the disciples used the King James Version? It's funny to me how many people are so fast to listen to things, jump on the bandwagon because it sounds good, start doing things because it's tradition, and make it greater than the law of God. You do it all the time. I can sit and point out so many things that you do, even apostolic Pentecostals, that would cause you to be a hypocrite, but because you are a hypocrite, you don't even see it. You don't see it. And so it's best just to avoid the fool. The Bible says don't mess with the fool, because if you mess with the fool is not going to be changed, and you're going to become dumber for it. So it's best, if you're wise, just to avoid them. Let the fool be foolish. Why wouldn't the fool think they're smart? Because that's the only option. A fool will not say they're a fool. The fool doesn't want to be a fool. So the only option is the fool to brag about being smart. Just like a liar. A liar's not going to brag about being a liar. Because the whole purpose that a lie is even existing is to cover itself to make it look like the truth. That's what a lie is. It's very existence. And you don't think there's people that were created like that? The Bible says there's vessels of destruction, vessels of honor, and vessels of dishonor. Pharaoh was one of these vessels of dishonor. And the Bible says, who are you, my creation? Who are you to tell the Creator what to do with his own creation? Like you have any say in it. Just because you can say it, it doesn't matter. You might get away with it for 100 years. You might get away for 70 years. Many people think they only live 70 years. The Bible says 70 years. But then you have to compete with how many people are 80 and 90 years old and live to 100. The Bible says 120. I don't find anybody living past 120, so that's a good number. But nobody lives up to 120. Why? Because of what they eat, the way they live, the way they act, what they go through, the way the pollutants are everywhere in this world, even though there's more people complaining about green energy and greenness just to capture more people, because it's easier to say the words than it is to actually do it. Many of you bought into it. Many of you have the great sayings. You guys can say all the great things. You guys say all the things to fit in with the crowd. The same crowd you say is going to hell. Every Sunday you say this crowd that you partner with is going to hell. Oh, you called me a liar? What about the scientists? What about these scientists that say that your God is not real? But they're all the ones in your head and you use all their facts. What about all these deceivers out there that hate your rules and laws because it stops them from running you over? So what do? They get you to turn on your own laws, to get you to get rid of your laws. Because they can't, because there's a thing called a judge and there's a process and they don't want to go through the process. So they get you to upevil your own process. And then now they come in and you say, oh, you're a liar. You didn't tell me that, but it's too late. When the Hitler actually comes and takes power, it's too late. But who are you going to call on now? Because you undid all your laws. Because you were standing with freedom. You were standing with principle. Your virtues were better than everybody else's virtues. Nobody else had rights. Because you needed to take them away because you were a vessel being used by the deceiver so the deceiver can come in like a flood and destroy everybody. But if you try to talk to these people, they don't want to listen to you. So the best thing is to avoid them. I found the best thing is to avoid them. As a preacher, I preached for many, many years. Not just saying I'm a preacher. I've never chased down my own licensing. I didn't call myself. I've always said this to God. You called me. You're the boss. Use me any way you want to use me. And he has. He's used me in multiple different ways. Some ways many people don't even agree with. If I were to listen to people and let them be my boss, I would not be the minister that God wants me to be. Just like Elijah, and I'm not saying I'm Elijah, just like John the Baptist, just like Peter, just like Paul, just like all the other ones that were disciples and followers of Jesus that had a walk with God and not a walk with man, not trying to be a popularity contest, not trying to fit in. Because fitting in, all that does is get you to chase the next shiny object, the next new phone that comes out, the next new computer, the next new device. Over and over, you never have enough. You have to go to the next thing. And it's the same thing with rules and regulations. You never have enough. You have to make more because the controller needs to have control. And the person that is being weighted down with all these weights is losing more freedoms. And that's the cause why there's lies. That's why there's regulations. That's why there's rules. Everything starts out with good intentions. Everything starts out that way. But once the power is given to the wrong person, the slaves make bricks. And when the bricks aren't good enough, you take the straw away. Because we need to have total control over these people. And that's what the enemy wants over your soul. And you don't even see it. And you don't even see the people fighting for you in secret. That fight for your soul. That pray for your soul. That pray for your awakening. That pray for you to see clearly. Many times you see and you hear throughout generations of people that come along and they try to teach people the right way. They try to speak the right way and everybody rejects them. Everybody hates them. Everybody calls them a crazy Satan. They call him a devil and they crucify him. Jesus was one of these they crucified. They called a devil. They mocked. They made fun of. And you probably would have went along with that crowd then day. If you were in the time of Jesus, seeing what I see now, how many people follow the crowds and follow Hollywood and follow the TV and follow the news and follow the next new thing. And you don't even realize it, but they get the hype going all the time and they're so good at it, they get you to parrot the things that they're talking about and you don't even realize that they've already deceived you and they got you off the real subject and now you're not even talking about what you're supposed to be talking about. They're that good. They do it all the time. They've been doing it from the beginning. These people are partnered with demons. They're very good at what they do. And you've underestimated your enemy because they made you a slave. They've taken you from the head of the table, the head of the kingdom with Jesus, the sitting at the right hand of God, sitting there even in the lowest places of heaven is still the top places of hell. You do not want to be in hell. You do not want to be in the top table of hell. You do not want to be in the lowest table of hell. You do not want to be in hell. You don't want to be with these things. You don't want to be around them. The problem is many times they come in a form of good things. They come in a form of godliness. And then you deny the real power. No, I don't. I speak in tongues more than y'all. Yeah, but have you quit smoking? But yeah, why are you going there? Because it's called iniquity. And these are the things that God's dealing with. These are the things that a preacher's supposed to talk about. My job is to get you to stop those things. If I don't get you to stop those things, I'm like every other voice out there. And I'm not here to make you feel good. I don't care if you don't like me. I preach the truth. I preach the truth to everybody, even myself. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, my friends. If you got to walk through your front door through a cloud of smoke to get into your house, you have a problem. Your very front door should be entreating to every soul. It should be letting people know that this is a safe place. You don't have to go through my sin. I'm not going to throw it in your face. I'm not going to brag about what I do. I am ashamed. I'm so ashamed that I'm going to repent of it. I am sorry, God. I will suffer the daily affliction until it is gone. I will not buy another pack of cigarettes. I will not spend another one of my holy money. If I'm paying tithes, that money's holy. And why would I pay tithes if I'm taking that money and buying evil things that promote evil things in the world while I'm preaching to everybody else? I tell everybody else they're a sinner. I tell everybody else that they're Trinitarian. I tell everybody else that they're going to hell. But me, myself, I'm not going to hell because I'm with Jesus. So I have a way out, but everybody else don't have a way out. What a hypocrite. That's a hypocrite. The very definition of hypocrite. The lie just wants to promote itself. Now, I read this scripture because, and I read it out of the NIV, and I went off on a tangent because I'm just so sick of the lies and the deception and the waste of time that people put people through. It's a waste of time, the arguments and debates. I've heard more people argue over the word revelations, putting the S on revelations, than they do talking about the book. Little things like this. You have to dot the I's, cross the T's on everything. But your life is okay to not do that. The same people that say these things live a certain way that you can't scrutinize them. Because if you do, you're going to go to hell. But they were given a gift from God to scrutinize your life and take your freedom away. With no humility. Job, in verse number 35, "Oh, that I had one to hear me." He has three friends sitting in front of him, not including Elihu, another one, a young man that's not counted as one of the friends. That's a great study in itself. You probably never heard that. You probably just went along with the crowd and just thought about Job's three friends. And this mysterious voice that starts speaking at the end. You never really considered. Why? Because you probably never read the book of Job. You never considered it. You probably read through it once or just the beginning or heard the stories and you never spent time in Job. Why do I have to spend time in Job? Why do I even have to worry about Job? Job was just a man that suffered. Do you know that Job was the epitome of all men suffering? He has taken suffering to a level that none of us will ever face. And he passed the test. He passed the test, my friends. And he did it without even half the stuff that you have today in this modern day. And you don't even read his book. You don't even consider him. But yet you'll go to a psychic. You'll go to a psychiatrist. You'll go to a New Age doctor. But you don't go to the book of Job. You don't talk to God. You don't spend time in your prayer closet. But you got all these new way of doing things. You'll think yourself happy. How's that working for you? How's your family? How's your marriage? How's everything going in your life? Yeah, but I have money. Yeah. Why? Because I thought about money. I'm thinking that I'm rich and I want to be rich. There's people like that out there. I've met people like that in the church. They always had something to sell. They always had something to gimmick. They always had some way of trying to get you to give them your money. There's people like that out there. Wasting their time. And here this man is suffering. And nobody comes to his aid. Nobody does. The friends that came to his aid came to speak to him, to preach to him, to convert him, to get him on their side, to let everyone know how much knowledge they have, how much Bible they knew, how friendly they were with God, and how long they've been walking with God. They had their pedigree. They had everything listed. I know I'm being facetious now, but we all have these friends. When they come to give you aid, it's better that they didn't even show up. The aid that they brought actually brought more damage. They really weren't friends. And you look at them and their hair looked like they had wisdom. The duffel bags of books that they carried looked like they had wisdom. The camels saddled down with all their scrolls looked like they had wisdom. And maybe they had a following. Maybe they had money. Maybe they had gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Maybe they had all these things and everyone said, these guys are wise. These people in their village are the smartest. These are the best. But when they showed up and their knowledge was put to the test, the very day that this man needed it, they didn't perform right. It's kind of almost like a lie. It's like how lies do. On the day that they're supposed to perform, it's not going to do it because it was a lie the whole time. It's just like a prophet that says they're a prophet, but they're not a prophet. There's many of those in our world. They're fake prophets. They say that they say this, but every time that the date comes to pass at the end, the world was supposed to end or Jesus was supposed to come, they just move the goalpost and nobody questions them because they were close. And I tell people like this, if you went to a psychic and the psychic could get 15 numbers out of 16 right for the lotto, it was still wrong. Until you get all 16 numbers right, you are not a psychic. Just because you get a few numbers, just because you get one, just because you almost get one, doesn't mean you're a psychic. It doesn't even mean you can prophesy. Because what about that person that just luckily picked out some numbers and randomly put them out there and they just showed up and they were 16 out of 17 numbers right? And you count that person as a psychic. Do you know many people are following after astrology, psychics, fortunes, all these things based on people almost getting it right? And they run their life that way. Wasting their time. Running their life on lies. These are all lies. And why am I spending time on this? Because the truth is always right there. It's just under surface sometimes. Sometimes it's blatantly right in front of you. And you don't even see it because you have scales upon your eyes, the Bible says. And until those scales fall off. And how do they fall off? You have to find a love for the truth. You have to start loving it. You have to start showing God that you have a desire for truth. You desire not to follow the crowds, not to even follow your loved ones, not to even follow those that say they're in leadership over you, but you're on a quest to find the truth. And you're at all costs going to find Jesus at all costs, even if it's to your popularity. If you lose all your friends, if it costs you your wealth, if it costs you everything, are you on a quest for truth? Or is it just easier to believe a lie? Let's go to the Revised Standard Version, verse number 35. Oh, that I had one to hear me. And then in quotations, here is my signature, exclamation. Let the Almighty answer me, exclamation. Oh, that I had the indictment written by my adversary. Job is saying, listen, man, I wish I had somebody to hear me. I feel so alone right now. Even if I had the enemy stand up before me, I wish he would write an indictment against me. Then I would take that indictment. I would strap it upon me. I would use it as a trophy. The indictment from the enemy is a trophy. It doesn't matter if anybody else believes it. It just matters that I believe it. Because I know that I'm standing for truth. I have integrity. Job is saying I have integrity. I'm a man of integrity. It doesn't matter if you believe me. It doesn't matter if you believe me. It doesn't matter if the crowds believe me. I know who I am. And I know who my God is. And if he was here to listen to me, if I just had somebody to listen to me, it feels like there's a cloud over me. Every time I speak, it sounds like I'm speaking to myself. And when my friends show up, they're just pouring salt upon the wound and it makes it worse. I'm already suffering. My life is already miserable. It's miserable. And I didn't even do anything to cause it. But these people don't even understand it. And I'm trying to find comfort out of the comfortless. These people don't even know what comfort is. Because they believe lies. And sometimes you have to go through these things to get your eyes to really see. And it's almost like sometimes God puts you in a secret place that you get to see things that everybody else don't get to see. And what he shows you, nobody even believes you. But you know it's the truth 100% because God was with you. So, and God showed these things to you and God spoke to you. And you try to tell people and it doesn't even matter. How many times did God tell the people in the book, in the Bible, don't write these things out. Don't tell these people this. I'm going to show you something, but don't even tell them. Don't even write it down. You're not allowed to, not allowed to speak to these things. I want you to think about this today because I'm not here asking you for a donation. Unlike many of the other leaders and counselors in your life, majority of them won't even speak to you or spend time with you unless you give them an amount of money. You clicked on this podcast and it was totally free. You can shut it off at any time. You don't have to finish to the end. You don't have to listen to this voice at all. Truth is truth. I tell people this, the only reason why God made preachers is because people are too lazy to pick up the Bible. If you were to pick up the Bible and read it, there's no need for a preacher no more. It's that simple. The problem is you're too lazy and people are too lazy to go to the Bible to find out what thus says the Lord. So now God has to go to a man, tap him on the shoulder and say, you got to speak for me because they don't want to read the Bible and now they're going to hear it in their ears. That's all. That's very simple. It's that easy. And I really love Apostle Paul because he didn't take no money from people. He said, listen, I don't want your money. I don't want your stuff because then you can never say that I did it for you had participated in my walk with God and that it was only because you gave me something that caused this to happen. I'm not going to let you partner with me like that. The word of God is too precious. The anointing of God is too great. And what God has done in my life is too real for you to mess it up. I want you to think about these things today. I want you to side with the truth. And even if it hurts to quit whatever addiction you're in, you have to quit. And you have to sacrifice it for God. Not for the person next to you, not even for yourself. Sacrifice it for God and make it worth something. Stop believing the lie, stop promoting the lie, and stop letting the devil be your father. It's that simple. And with that, God bless.